You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700, or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
All right, welcome back into ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman, and had a good time meeting and getting to know Jim from New Mexico Men of Honor in that first segment. And I do want to remind you, NewMexicoMenOfHonor.com for information on the ministry. And if they don't have the information for their event on October 21st, it'll be there shortly, and you'll hear about it on KLYT surely, so keep listening. Ray Mondragon, welcome back into studio. Of course, Ray, involved with Christian Science Fellowship, Creation Science. Yeah, let's get a mic. There you go. Creation Science Fellowship.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, here's what I love. I love not knowing things and then getting a smart guy in front of me. Ray, if you're not familiar, Ray's currently a professor for Schaefer Theological Seminary. He's an international professor of seminary courses at Word of God Bible College and International Bible or Baptist Bible College in Ukraine.
Both in Ukraine. I used to go every year, except this last year, because of the war, I was not able to go.
Right. Well, hopefully that'll change. Right?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. And let's see, you do talks for Creation Science Fellowship, as we already mentioned, and international seminars in Ukraine, Brazil, Guatemala. You're well-traveled.
Well, I'm old. I'm 98.
Yeah, whatever. Also in Mexico, and an occasional pulpit supply and teaching at various other churches. If someone wanted to reach out to you to have you speak somewhere, they're listening, like, you know, we should have Ray come out and talk to us.
Well, if all we have to do is schedule it, and usually if we have enough time ahead, I can usually do it.
That's really kind of you. I put you on the spot. You could have said no.
No. It's the only reason I'm here.
Well, hey, they didn't tune in, listeners, to hear me talk about the topics we're going to be covering today. For those who maybe were not tuned in the last time Jim Williams had you in studio, kind of bring them up to speed to where we were and where we left off.
Well, we've been dealing with the major issue of creation versus evolution. And obviously our culture dominates the idea of evolution. And most Christians are unaware that that's a lie, actually. I mean, there's really not any evidence to support evolution.
And that in the Christian community.
Even in the, yeah, virtually in the Christian community.
I have personal experience with that. However, it does surprise me that that so many are they've got the wrong information.
Right. So, Creation Science Fellowship, and in fact, the creation movement, tries to give you the facts concerning science, essentially, and the evidence all points to a creator. So, this is a major area of discussion in terms of the world and primarily within the creation community. Now, one of the things that we also will do, and we'll probably, hopefully, we'll do this next, another major issue is the Genesis flood. Did it ever exist? But that's probably down the road if we
get that far. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, yeah.
So the last time we were looking at this issue and coming to the conclusion, and what I intended to do, and we got started on it. We didn't quite get far into it, so we're going to continue today, I hope.
Yeah, the interpretation.
How do you interpret Genesis?
Yeah.
Because that is at the heart of the whole discussion here. Certainly we deal with the science, and that's important. But even more so is the authority of God's word. And
right.
We in the Young Earth Creation Movement emphasize the scriptures.
Well, let's do this real quick, too, because I am going to imagine that there is Christians, not a few of them, that the word science comes up and they almost tune out.
Yep.
You know, it's a bad word.
Yeah.
Could you kind of address that before we move on?
Well, that's part of the problem that we try to address and give people confidence that science is not against the Bible. So we start with God as creator, and if God is creator, then he made everything that science endeavors to study. God is the one that made the natural realm, and if he made the natural realm, then he should know every aspect of it. And if he inspired scripture, as we believe that he did, then anything that he says in scripture should conform to reality. In other words, conform to what science can discover. And over time, beginning way back, even before Newton, as science progresses, we find out more and more that science actually confirms what the Bible says. Now, one of the problems is the interpretation of scripture. And that's one of the issues that I'd like to deal with today is how do you approach Genesis 1 in light of science?
And okay. And then the question, if you said that to me and kind of based on what we've been talking about, how do you interpret Genesis 1 in light of science? Then my question would be, well, how do you interpret it? Biblical science?
I describe secular science, what is current within the scientific realm today, and that is, as you've indicated there, somewhat different from a biblical worldview approach to science. And that's one of the things that we do in Creation Science Fellowship is bring out the biblical aspect. Because the Bible makes comments on the natural realm that guide us in science. The secular scientist omits that data, so he's not looking at all of the data. So we actually have more data. And the more we learn, like I said, about science, the more we find out that science actually confirms not only Genesis 1, but lots of statements even in the New Testament.
Yeah, although
I can give you an example.
Go ahead.
Well, an example, genetics is a relatively new science, and we've been learning all kinds of things at the microbiological level. And not only genetics, but cell biology and some of these newer sciences. One item in genetics we're discovering, or at least the secularist is discovering, because it's always been there in the Bible, so we could know it.
Right.
The geneticists are coming to the conclusion that actually evolution is impossible because built in at that level, the genetic level, are barriers from one species changing into another. And this is exactly what Genesis 1 tells us. So all the way in Genesis 1, when God created, he created kinds. They're distinct and different and separate, and they reproduce after their kind. So that's Genesis 1. So Genesis 1 is way ahead of science, and genetics is just barely catching up. And that's true across the board, whether you deal with astrophysics, whether you deal with biology, whether you deal with geophysics, whatever area, science generally is confirming some of the statements like that one. That's just one. I could give you many others, but that is one example of where secular science is beginning to come to the same conclusion that the Bible is already laying the foundation for.
Okay, now, that being said, you said the data that's available from the Bible is ignored routinely by secular scientists.
Yes.
And part of me, I want to ask, I know why. I mean, the devil is the author of lies.
That's right.
And there's a veil for people that haven't met Jesus yet, for people who have not, who don't necessarily cling to, trust in, and rely on the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation.
Exactly.
That the veil is there. So, and that answers part of my other, you know, my other frustration when I talk to people who have all these letters after their name, and it amazes me, the lack of practical thought that is ignored by them. However, I need to remind myself, and I can't keep up with these guys when it comes to the things that they know that gave them all the letters after their name. I don't want to say I need to cut them a break, but I need to adjust my attitude about frustration towards them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if the veil is there, don't marvel that they're going to believe what they're being told by the author of lies.
Yeah. Now, we need to make a distinction as well in terms of science and scripture. There are actually two major areas of science. There's what's called observational science. In other words, that's done in present time. That's what physics is primarily concerned about, chemistry, geophysics, all the other sciences. They deal with things that you can observe today.
Right.
And things that you can come to some conclusions and that you can test.
Repeat.
And verify and repeat. That's observational science. Now, most of what the Bible deals with and what we are concerned about is the science that deals with things in the past.
Right.
And that's historical science. That's radical. That's very different. Now, we as creationists don't have a lot of problem with many of the things in observational science, but we have a major problem when it comes to interpreting past events. For example, the age of the earth, for example, or creation versus evolution. I mean, that's the main, you know, we're dealing with events that took place in the past. And in some cases, there was no one there to observe.
Right.
And there's no way to test it. And all we can do is deal with the traces left behind by events.
And even in within the church and those talking about the age of the earth, and there's disagreement there.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem even within creation science. But that distinction we need to keep in mind. So when we're dealing with Genesis 1, we're talking about what God did thousands of years ago. Now, some would say billions, but that's a different issue. That's the issue that you raised in terms of the church. When we talk about the Genesis flood.
Well, since we're on the topic of the age of the earth and the disagreement, isn't there even a disagreement of this many thousands of years to this many thousands of years? And then maybe on to the billions.
Yeah, but in general, young earth creationists see thousands as opposed to billions.
Okay.
Now, there is a whole segment. In fact, the majority of Christians hold to an old earth in the billion range. In other words, they are accepting, and we as young earth creationists would say, they are accepting an evolutionary framework.
If they're headed right towards the billions.
Right.
Ray, before we press on, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll pick up the conversation. And as a reminder, you know, if you tune in the middle of a conversation on ABQ Connect, within a couple days, within the week, but we want to make it sooner than that, you can look for archived ABQ Connects, on the website at abqconnect.online. We'll be back with more with Ray Mondragon right after the break on KLYT.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, I need continuous infilling because I leak. What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300, or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
KLYT Delight welcomes Zach Williams to End of the Mountain Gods in Ruidoso on Saturday, September 24th.
You got pain. He's a pain table. Well, I got an old church choir singing in my soul.
Zach Williams in concert in Ruidoso with songs you know, including material from his project Rescue Story.
You were the voice.
Thanks Boundary Media for their support of this announcement of the Zach Williams concert at End of the Mountain Gods in Ruidoso on Saturday, September 24th. Endofthemountaingods.com, Ticketmaster.com, KLYT, the light of New Mexico.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
All right, welcome back in to ABQ Connect. I'm Steve Ryman, and in studio, we are in the middle of a discussion with Ray Mondragon, and I know some folks... we may have even said that Ray will be on the second half of the show. Well, he is going to be on the second half of the show, but not the entire second half. In the final segment, we'll get our financial update from Brian Cochran at John Moore Associates. But if you tuned in and like, wait a minute, they're in the middle of the conversation. I want to hear this whole conversation. Well, it will be posted. You'll be able to find the entire conversation today with Ray at abqconnect.online sometime after the show. It might be as late as Monday, but we hope to get it on as soon as we can. So it will be available to you. Now, Ray, let's pick up somewhere where we were talking about some of the differences between the secular science view of creation or of the world.
Of the universe.
Yeah, the universe. that was fun. Okay. and the biblical view, which of course is the creation view. Let's talk about secular science and biblical view of science and really where do they differ? We talked a little bit about that already too with the age of the earth and
right.
But let's expand on that.
Now, in the discussion, I'm dealing with historical science primarily. And when it comes to historical science, the secular view views constants and laws of science as fixed, unchangeable. And in fact, they would say they've always been that way.
For example?
Just pick. Law of gravity, radiometric decay rates.
What about the speed of light?
Speed of light.
Okay.
You know, virtually any constant you can name.
Okay.
Or any law of science. In other words, what you can observe today, they would say they are fixed, unchanging, and some would even say eternal. In other words, they've always been that way and they always will be. And that is part of the reason why they can come up with billions of years, because particularly in radiometric dating, they project back based on some of the samples that they sample, and they come up with billions of years. But there's a difference in that if you study the scriptures, that the universe has not always been the way it is today. So uniformitarianism is an assumption that the secularist will make in trying to understand ancient events.
Okay, and if from a layperson's view of this, I want to throw this at you
right
where you are.
Well, we want everybody to understand, yeah. So that's good. Keep me on track.
My brief understanding, okay, carbon-14 dating being,
right.
And this is kind of one of the things you're talking about. One of the things that someone had, I don't know if I was listening to someone, but at one point got me thinking, well, how do we know that the same amount of carbon was around however long ago compared to, or that it decays or it acts.
The issue is whether the rate of decay is constant or not.
Right.
That's one of the issues.
Okay. So that could be part of the reason someone may do a carbon 14 test that'll give you some number that would not fit into the biblical historical view of creation.
Right. Now, carbon 14 itself decays relatively more rapidly, so carbon 14 is probably not the best, but some of the other dating methods will give you billions of years.
Uh-huh.
And carbon 14, they're only best about 70,000 years.
Okay. But okay. So how are the other ones, other than carbon 14?
Well, again,
what are they based on?
Well, they're based on present rates. In other words, you can measure the rates today.
Is there some other element that they're rating the decay of other than carbon?
No, there's other. Yeah, okay. Potassium, argon is a method.
And those are methods they use for dating.
Right.
Okay. It's just everyone.
But the question is, has the rate been the same? In other words, you can measure today and calculate the rates.
Right.
And the issue is, has that rate always been what it is today?
Okay.
And recent research by ICR, actually it's not so recent anymore, but in their research, their rate project, they demonstrated that probably radiometric dating, all of it, including carbon 14, had a radical change as a result of the Genesis flood. And if that's the case, then any dating before the Genesis flood is skewed at best and totally inaccurate. So there's no way that you can project a time frame before the Genesis flood if, in fact, these measurements and tests that were done by ICR are valid. And people can go back and repeat them. But those are the kinds of things that we bring out. And when we have a biblical perspective, then we have data. In other words, there was an event that radically changed everything. And we would say that it even would have affected some constants. And in this case, we're talking about radiometric dating. But there's some other things that were affected as well. And the biblical text tells us that people lived 900 years old. Well, is that... Some would say that's mythological or, you know, that's unrealistic or whatever. But we take the Bible seriously, and there's nothing in the text to indicate that these numbers are skewed.
Right.
So the now, something
I
radical.
I want to make sure you know where we are time-wise. We got about a minute and a half to kind of bring it to wrap right. up where we are, and we'll pick up the next time you come in, which we'll get on the calendar.
Okay. The main point I'm making here is secular science disregards the issues that the Bible brings up. And if you take them into account, you have a better framework to do science, particularly when you're dealing with historical events like the Genesis flood, creation, or anything in the past. And secular historical science disregards the biblical data and depends on what they call uniformitarianism. In other words, the processes that you can measure today, right. you just project them back. Everything has
right.
been
they're assuming,
the same.
Right.
Everything's
they're assuming
been the same.
Rate of decay, like we said, all these things haven't changed. But
and other constants.
Right.
Right.
And obviously, scientists are finding that the rate and
is not necessarily right. the same, and there's some other assumptions okay. that are involved as well.
Ray, I could do this with y'all. I love it. Thanks for coming into studio
well,
with
we know,
us.
We need to go back to the hour-long format.
Yeah, oh, well, God willing, we'll do that.
Okay.
But I want, kidding. No, you're not. I think it's great. Hey, thanks for listening to ABQ Connect today. And if you did miss the first part of our discussion with Ray, it'll be archived at abqconnect.online.